for Health presents To Your Good Health Radio. Here are Melanie Cole, MS, and Dr. David Friedman.
Well, what if there was a way for you to take a simple blood test that would tell if you're at risk for a heart attack? This amazing discovery has been the focus of the latest in healthcare technology, and our next guest is here to explain how it works and what to do if you're at risk of having a heart attack. He's board certified in anatomic and clinical pathology and hematology, and he's authored numerous peer-reviewed publications. Please welcome to the show Dr. Douglas Harrington. Here is Dr. David Friedman.
Dr. Harrington.
Yes, sir, Dr. David.
Yeah, you know, I've always been fascinated by psychics who have the ability to predict somebody's future. Has science gotten so advanced now that a simple blood test can predict the future of a heart attack?
Well, I prefer to not consider it being psychic, but we do have a tool now that will very accurately predict the risk of having a heart attack within a five-year window.
Wow.
And it's a simple blood test, and it's based on 15 years of targeted research into the process of soft plaque formation. So the answer is, yes, we now have a tool that doctors can incorporate into their practice to better identify those people that are at risk.
To tell the future. Don't use the word psychic, but it does predict the future, which is great. What is the test called, and share how it works?
Okay, the test is called MyRisk VP. And VP stands for vulnerable patient. And the way it works is that the most common cause of heart attacks, as we talked about in the last segment, is soft plaque rupture,
right,
for which there is no test today. Virtually everything that we look at is looking at cholesterol and blood pressure. And there are some other tests like coronary artery calcium scores, but that's a much later disease process. So the goal here was to try and find this group of patients who we knew were dying and do it with a simple blood test and in a time frame that we could catch them early enough to get preventive measures in place, whether that's lifestyle modification or drugs or a combination of those. And the way it works is that not all risk factors are equal. For instance, total cholesterol is not as powerful as good cholesterol measurements. And so when you take a look at an individual's risk, you've got to look at all of these things and give them a coefficient that weights them appropriately, put them into an algorithm that gives you a percent risk of having a heart attack within this five-year window. So what the algorithm does is it measures seven proteins in your blood that are directly produced by soft plaque when it's being formed and when it's actively inflamed. And then we use four clinical features, your age, your sex, whether you're diabetic, and family history. And that develops into something that's like an early warning system. So in other words, if it's giving you a warning that you have a high risk of having a heart attack in the next 5 years, you've got plenty of time to do something about it, and we try and make it very easy for the patient to understand the results and the doctors. And so for the first time, we now have something that doesn't replace anything that you're currently getting from your doctor. It gives them a whole new dimension that lets them identify up to 61% of the people who are being missed, who are at risk of having a heart attack. And that's a huge number.
Yeah. Now, these seven proteins, let's say the blood test shows that it's existing. What caused those? You mentioned that it breaks off, but what's actually causing that? Have you contributed to the top three things that create those proteins?
Yes, we have. They actually occur from the plaque. What happens is the bad cholesterol, in particular the small, dense bad cholesterol, which stays in the blood the longest, gets damaged or oxidized. And once that happens, it's able to penetrate the artery wall, causing inflammation. Once that penetrates the artery wall, you get macrophages, which are inflammatory cells. Mm-hmm. You get cell death, and you get remodeling and the formation of the soft plaque, all of which leak proteins into the blood. And we measure those proteins that come directly from the plaque. And the changes in those levels can tell us how active a plaque is and how likely it is to rupture, and also what your disease burden is, how much of this you have. So it's a very powerful tool. It's just being rolled out nationally. We are so intent on getting it into clinical practice that we actually have a not-for-profit called Garter Heart Foundation that works with people who can't afford testing or who don't have insurance as well, so that nobody gets denied.
That's great. Now, we recently interviewed Dr. Sinatra, author of The Great Cholesterol Myth, and he shared something interesting. He said how half of those that suffer from heart attacks have normal cholesterol levels. What's your opinion on cholesterol testing? Is this going to take over as being the almighty, and that's going to kind of fade out?
Absolutely not. First of all, I significantly agree on the fact that cholesterol is not the story, and that number, half the people that have a heart attack have normal lipids or normal cholesterol, is absolutely true. And what it just reinforces the fact that when you look at heart disease and the risk of having a heart attack, it's a multi-factor process for which centrally cholesterol has some role, but inflammation has a bigger role. And you can't ignore either one of them. You should use them together. So we view our technology as being very complementary to everything that your doctor is doing right now, and it shouldn't replace anything. It's like giving them a whole new way of looking at a patient and identifying whether they're at risk or not.
So another piece of the puzzle. It's another piece
exactly.
of the puzzle. That makes
exactly.
sense. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I read in your literature 75% of cardiac events are caused by this vulnerable plaque rupture. Doc, does this mean most heart attacks in the U.S. could be treated early through this, through medical, I guess, lifestyle modifications if this test comes back positive?
Yes. What it means is that you could get people into a preventive lifestyle program. Now, we know as physicians that the biggest problem with patients is compliance with a therapeutic protocol.
Right.
And this data, we've tested it out over the last year, is very motivating to patients to comply with lifestyle change and with medication. And because of that, this is one of the first tests that's been targeted at a preventive program as opposed to diagnostic. And as you know, there's no real healthcare reform until you focus on prevention. And this is an enabling technology to give people the tools to prevent their heart disease or heart attack. It won't completely get rid of it, but it'll give them a fighting chance to reduce their risk. And it's in their control. So the absolute truth is, here's a tool for both doctors and patients to learn where they really fit in and what they can do about it. It guides their response.
Hey, Dr. Harrington, if someone takes the test, finds out that they're positive, and you get them into that lifestyle program, how long before they take the test again and see if they've changed their numbers?
Right. So first of all, it doesn't come back positive or negative. It comes back low, intermediate, or high risk. And then within that, there's a percentage absolute risk of having a heart attack. And the answer to that is we don't recommend repeat testing unless an individual has actually complied with a program that you've put them on. For instance, if it's a weight loss target or a blood pressure level or a cholesterol level, then once they've achieved those targets, that's a good time to consider retesting them. And we know that the numbers do change. You can reduce your risk. You can reduce your heart age. But we don't want people just taking the test willy-nilly. We'd like them to actually look at those things that are modifiable and comply with the treatment program before they repeat the test. If they don't comply with it, you can show them that their risk is greater, but you may not want to waste the money on a test because, you know, as I said earlier, our belief is that it's time for people to take responsibility for their own health, not just go to their healthcare provider and say, I got a pill and everything is okay. They can get the pill, but they've got to do the other things to make it work. Do you know what I mean?
Great. Tell us the name of this test again for those that are interested.
The test is called MyRisk. It's MIRISKVP, Vulnerable Patient, and it can be obtained through Avir, AVIR, Inc. Laboratories in Irvine, California.
And thank you so much, Dr. Harrington, for this life-saving information. And for more information, you can go to Avir.com. The winner of the Whole Body Transformation Challenge this week and the microfoliator provided by our new sponsor, DW Skincare, is Margaret Richmond. Congratulations. For more information on DW Skincare line, go to tdwskincare.com. And if you want to sign up for the Whole Body Transformation Challenge, and I suggest that you do because the prizes are great, go to yourgoodhealthradio.com and sign up for the Whole Body Transformation Challenge. This is Melanie Cole with Dr. David Friedman. Have a great day and stay well.